Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to Desperate House Witches. My name is Raina Starr. Dorian Wallace has the night off. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the one, the only, the fabulous, the incredible Wicked Witch herself, Dorothy Morrison of WickedWitchStudios.com. So if you need any incense, candles, oils, sprays, something to get your mojo working, hit up www.WickedWitchStudios.com. And if you need your products shipped internationally, check out The Angry Cauldron at www.theangrycauldron.com. They also sell their own line of fabulous goods, and they do ship Dorothy's products overseas. So, if you're new to the show, welcome. I noticed that we had a lot of new listeners log on this time, and we are happy to have you. But I have to give you the following warning. If bad language, dirty talk, bodily functions, or other crazy shit that might come out of my mouth might offend you, this may not be the show for you. But if that doesn't bother you, come and sit by us, because I've got a great guest tonight. I love this woman. She's amazing. My friend and yours, the incredible Star Bustamante. Hey, Star.
Hey, Raina. How you doing?
I'm good. So I got to tell you, like every conversation that my sister and I have is now about Mystic Sal. We are so psyched.
That's awesome. Well, I think we're going to have a big year this year.
I think so, too. Who's coming? What do we got going?
Oh, well, let's see. Our musical headliner is Tuatha Dea. Which,
yes.
As you may recall, they helped us kick off our very first Mystic South conference. We also have they are fantastic. For anybody who hasn't seen them, I mean, if they play anywhere near you, you should definitely go see them, because there's nobody that does quite what they do anywhere that I've ever heard.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're amazing. What an incredible group of people. And they're all nice. Every single member of the band is like the nicest person you could ever want to meet.
Yeah, well, it's true. They're all pretty down to earth and approachable and frequently hilarious also. Which, you know, they function as a family, which, I mean, much of the band is, you know, they're all related, so in one way or another, for the most part.
I don't know if I could deal with my relatives on that constant of a basis. I'm not really sure how they make that work, because half the time I think my family and I would like to kill each other.
Well, it definitely takes a certain special something to be able to ride around in a van and travel all over the country and probably not strangle each other. But I mean, I think they manage it pretty well. So.
And also,
I just want to say that you can, if you look them up, you can listen to their music, and it's available for download, I think, on through their website.
Yeah.
I think it's tuatadea.net. But you can also, if you just Google them, you can find their website, and they have music on Reverb. They have a page on Reverb Nation. They're pretty much everywhere. Do you want me to spell that for people?
Oh yeah, the videos are They have videos on YouTube as well that are awesome.
Yeah.
So it's very accessible. Very accessible.
And they have an Instagram page too. They have Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, there's stuff on YouTube. They're pretty much. I mean, if you Google, and I'm gonna spell it, TuaThaDea. If you Google Tuathadea, you will find a gazillion entries for them on the web. So they're going to be our musical headliner. They're doing they're doing two workshops. They're going to perform on Saturday night, and then on Friday night we're going to do something we've never done before at Mystic South. We're going to have a pajama drumming party. So you can come and drum in your pajamas with Tuathadea.
That's so, you know, it's funny because I read that and I'm like, do they mean a real pajama party? Like come down from your room in your night clothes and just hang out and drum? That just sounded like so much fun.
Well, that's exactly what it means. Now, I will say that because we're in a hotel, we do have to follow certain rules. So if you're going to be walking around in the lobby, you need to be, you know, no slinky, sleazy lingerie in the lobby, please.
Yes. Pajama tops and bottoms, please. Please cover all necessary bits so as to not offend everybody who is not part of our group. We don't have the whole hotel to ourselves. We must be respectful of the other patrons. But it still sounds like
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be fun. So that'll be a first for Mystic South. Then our other headliners, Sangoma Alude is going to be joining us again this year. And she's pretty fantastic. She almost defies explanation. you just have to meet her to really comprehend what Sangoma is all about. But she did a couple of workshops last year that were just really
amazing. And she's an experience, in my opinion. I just want to sit there and listen to her. She's an experience.
Yeah, she really is. One of the workshops she did last year that I went to that was really fantastic was titled "What's Your Wakanda State of Mind?" And it was really fantastic how she got people to really speak and identify, you know, what they're looking for and how they relate to the whole energy of that. It was a great workshop. She's a fantastic presenter. She really is. Then we have Lilith Dorsey coming this year, she's presented at a number of conferences over the years, and she also has a blog on Pathios that is Voodoo Universe. I've not met Lilith before, so I'm really looking forward to having her be part of the conference this year.
Me too.
And then, last but not least, is we got Jason Mankey coming as our other headliner.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what kind of chaos will ensue. What kind of trouble Mr. Mankey will start.
Well, I have to tell you, knowing some of the other guests, I can definitely say that there is going to be shenanigans afoot, because when you put Jason Mankey and Thorne Mooney in a room together, there's going to be something happening. And I'm very happy that Thorne is going to be presenting as well. So that's going to be fun. It's her first time coming to Mystic South, so we're pretty excited about that as well. Laura Perry, who has also been one of my guests, is going to be presenting at Mystic South. She has worked on the Minoan traditions. So for folks who are interested in that, she'll be giving a workshop on that. Oh, and I'm remiss in not mentioning that Thorne wrote traditional Wicca. So that's going to be exciting, and she's going to give a class on that as well. So that's going to be fun. We've just got, like, all kinds of cool stuff. Dr. Deborah Burris is going to be there talking about astronomy and cloud lessons and star lessons like she does, which are fabulous. Let's see, who else is coming? We've got a lot of great people coming.
John Beckett will be coming again this year. Byron Ballard is coming. Tony Kale and Jack Montgomery are going to be presenting. The last couple of years have come and brought the Hoodoo Museum, they are in the process of launching their own publishing company, and they are going to do the release of the publishing company's first book at Mystic South. So we're pretty excited about that too.
Very excited about that. That's going to be great. Amy Blackthorne is back this year as well.
Yep. We have attracted some of the most fantastic presenters, both on the academic track for papers and in regular workshops. So I'm really thrilled with the level of response that we have. And before we go any further, I just have to say that, you know, I may be the spokesperson and, you know, the figurehead of this crazy organization, but the people that deserve the real credit for what happens with Mystic South are the team that manage everything. Marla Robertson, who handles all of the workshop coordination, is just, I could not do what she does, and I hope that I never, ever have to.
Agree. The level of organization and planning that takes is not like anything I could ever conceive of. So the fact that she gets it well in hand is kind of amazing. That's a level of organization that I aspire to and know I will never achieve, because I just don't think I ever will. It's amazing.
Yeah, she does a fantastic job. Her wife, Gypsy Teague, is our vendor coordinator, which is another thankless job that I hope I never have to do.
For sure.
Heather Green does all of the coordination and is our liaison for the hotel, as well as is working with Kat Sullivan to handle the volunteers. Ryan Dennison is in the papers aspect is his baby. And then our super powered internet demon, Stacy Cesaros. I don't know what we would do without Stacy. Everyone should have a Stacy, and she is like
in their life.
she she does a tremendous job. I mean, but they all do. And, you know, and I do really nothing is what I do. I come on shows and talk to you. Other than that, I really don't do anything. Boss people around on occasion, but that's about it.
No, ma'am. You know what? I've known you long enough, and I've watched you do this long enough to know that that is complete utter bullshit. Now, Star, you know, you were instrumental in bringing this whole thing to fruition. I understand you didn't do it alone. Very few people get anything done alone. I agree with you on that point. But you do a lot more than boss people around. I mean, this wouldn't be happening. You know, I remember when you first thought about it, and I was like, yeah, we'll show up. We'll bring the radio show. Sure, just invite us. We'll be there. Like, great.
Right, but it wasn't my idea. I mean, really, it really wasn't my sole idea. This was, you know, everybody that's on, that's on the admin team, with the exception of Ryan, because we kidnapped him and and his idea for an academic conference, and kind of strong armed Stacy into helping us as well. But you know, I think that we all kind of had, you know, similar ideas. I know on some of the trips that I took with Byron, you know, we would talk about why the hell isn't there a Southern Conference? We should make a Southern Conference. And then, you know, in connecting with Heather Green and Marla and Gypsy, and even at our early on, like Holly Emore from Cherry Hill,
mm-hmm.
you know, was even – we got input from a number of people. Sarah Amos was another person early on who, you know, that we all kind of were having the same idea. So there were a lot of people that, you know, I mean, how I ended up being the person that has to come on the radio and talk about it is because I had to step away from the computer at a critical moment, because I think, you know, I either went to the bathroom or I had somebody at the front door, and in my absence, in a teleconference, they decided that I was the best person to be in charge. So yeah, so that's how that happens. Rule number one: never ever go to the bathroom during a meeting or leave the room.
Right.
They'll assign stuff to you.
Well, I think they picked the right person, because, you know, you've got it together. It's a great conference. It's full of fantastic people. You know, it has grown over the last 3 years, and it just gets better every year. I mean, I'm so excited, because every year we have a great time, but it seems like it's better than the year before. So whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because it's working out. It's just working out.
Well, I'm doing
you
absolutely
know?
Fucking nothing, so I can do that.
But
snarky
it seems
comments,
like, you
yeah,
know,
I'm great at that.
You're great. I mean, it's the life of the conference. You know, it's all of these great hands that have been brought together to make it what it is, and it's ever evolving. And it's, you know, the other thing that I love about it is, you know, a lot of us are estranged from our families because of what our, you know, what our paths are, what our, you know, belief systems are. And, you know, when you get to gather once a year, because I can't do every gathering because I have a day job that keeps me, unfortunately, too occupied, you know, it's like I get to see all my relatives once a year, at least. So, I mean, that for me is, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way about any festival, but this is great because it's indoors and I'm old and I like to sleep on a bed. Thank you so much. I can't do outdoor anymore. Not like I used to. I mean, I would have to have like, you know, I'd have to have a team of people come and build me a bed and, you know, which isn't very cost effective for these festivals, you know. So I kind of have to beg off of a lot of the outdoor stuff because I'm just not as spry as I used to be, you know. So I am grateful for a shower and a toilet when I want one right away, and it's private.
Yeah, well, none of us are getting any younger, and I quit doing festivals, outdoor festivals that required camping about 3 years ago, and I just don't want to be uncomfortable anymore. I'm still a pagan, but that doesn't mean I have to sleep in a pile of leaves to be a pagan. Just not doing it.
And that's my point.
Not
exactly. It. You know, you obtain a certain age in life and a certain level of status in the world, and it's like, you know what, my old ass is not getting on the floor anymore. It's not going to happen because the rest of you will have to come and get me up off the floor if I have to go pee in the middle of the night. I'm just saying. A bed is where it's at for me at this particular stage. Listen, I am not disparaging camping events. I did them until the age of 50. But once 50 hit, I said, okay, you know, I give. Done. I don't want to put up a tent anymore. I was never good at it. Kind of done. Kind of over it. I want a hotel. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I might go camping. I just don't want to. I don't want to be in an event. You know, if you can go camping on a weekend when it's like perfect weather and it's like that's when you're going to go do it. Okay, that's fine. But with festivals, you just never know. It could be, you know, it could be abysmally hot. You could, you know. There could be a flood. I'm just like, I don't want to deal with any of that. I don't want to be slogging up to my knees in water or mud or, you know, I just don't want to. But for people that are into it and love it, you know, hey, that's their thing. Doesn't mean I have to do it. So being in a hotel is definitely nice. Although, we couldn't be having this conversation without recapping year one where the hotel lost water, and so it was kind of like five-star glamping because there was no water and there was no air conditioning for most of the day on Saturday. And,
Right. So that's right. But you know what? It could have been so much worse, but the hotel was so great. They brought in water. They brought in ice cream. They were bringing fans up to the rooms. I mean, they did the best they could. And, you know, as we said at that moment, well, if this is how year one is going to go, everything else is going to be perfect. And last year was great. If there was a glitch somewhere, I certainly wasn't aware of it. It seemed to run perfectly for me, as I expect it will this year as well.
Yeah, we didn't really have any issues really last year. No more than, you know, I mean, any event you're going to have an issue here and there, but nothing major. I think everybody came away from it pretty pleased. It ran smoothly. I don't expect this year to be different when it comes to operations. I mean, we know what the first year we weren't really sure what to expect, and now we all know pretty much what to expect. I do think that we're going to see a pretty good increase in numbers this year. So it'll be, I think that's good. But I don't anticipate any major issues. I'm pretty excited about it, actually.
I am too. I mean, you know, and as I was saying before, you know, about not wanting to be on the floor, I did 35, 40 years in the SDA. So I think I paid my dues as far as all that goes, as far as sleeping on the floor. So, yeah, I mean, and the hotel, speaking of which, you know, has been completely renovated, excuse me. And I've seen some of the pictures. There's more than one place to eat there now, which is kind of cool. They've made a lot of changes, and I'm excited to see what they've done with the place.
Yeah. From what the pictures look like, it looks great. Heather's been there and says it's really it looks really nice, and they've, you know, upgraded and updated everything. There are more places to eat and drink within the hotel. But of course, I mean, there's tons of places that are really close, and there's shuttle service. The MARTA stop is just, you know, just a few blocks away. For a location, it's a great location, and the hotel staff has been super. I mean, like when they dealt with the whole water issue the first year and last year, I mean, they're really great. They've always worked with us really well to do whatever they needed to do to make sure that we have what we need, and super nice people. I mean, really. So we're excited. We're excited to be back there.
Definitely. So the dates again are the 19th, 20th, and 21st of July. So it's coming up really fast.
Let's tell people we're on the 18th.
Yeah.
The meet and greet is Thursday evening.
Right.
And we'll have registration open like probably by 3 or 3:30 on Thursday afternoon. It'll be open up until 7, and then the meet and greet starts at 7:30, which will be in a suite upstairs. So kind of it's a good opportunity to meet a lot of the presenters and for attendees to kind of mingle and see what's what. And then we start off early Friday morning at like 8 a.m. The schedule is just pretty jam-packed. It's going to be exciting.
Non-stop. Yeah, it's nonstop. Schedule is loaded.
Yep, it is.
So that,
I mean,
tell folks where it is, Star. Tell folks where the hotel is.
It's at the Crown Plaza Ravinia on the perimeter, which is just on the just north of it's still Atlanta, but it's north of town. And it's easy to get to right off of 85. I forget what the exit is, but it is a very nice hotel, and especially if you're coming from the east or the north, it is really easy to get to, and anybody that's flying in, MARTA is definitely the easiest way to get to the hotel.
Right. MART is the transit system that they have. Is that the bus system?
Yeah. No, it's train. You can take a train.
Oh.
From.
Oh.
It's mass transit. Yeah.
Cool.
And all of the info, everything that you could possibly need to know about the conference is on our website, which is mystic-south.com. And we're on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, and I think that's it. I don't know if we have. I don't think we have an Instagram page.
Not to my
knowledge. So many formats.
I know.
I'm sure Stacy would love to have an Instagram page too.
Oh, I'm sure, for those live shots at the conference, of which there are going to be many. I expect to see a lot of uploads to Facebook nightly. My sister and I actually might walk around on Friday during the day and do a little live walkabout, you know, if it's allowed. We'll see, or we'll do a hello from one of our rooms live. We'll be doing something. Who knows? We'll figure it out. But it's going to be a great time. I encourage anybody listening, if you have the chance to come to this conference, it's really worth it. It is a lot of fun. The presenters are great. The folks are great. The hotel is great. The food is great. Atlanta is just a great place. You can't go wrong. I mean, even if you just want a day trip, you can do that. You're not obligated to stay at the hotel overnight if that's not your deal. But it's shopping, it's laughing, it's eating, it's hanging out. It's a great time. You know, we're doing our live broadcast there from that Friday night. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're going to grab as many presenters as we can Friday night and have them come on for at least a couple of minutes to talk about what they're doing at the conference. And then after everyone does that, we do a little bit of a round table on whatever topic is happening for us at the moment, and people are invited to stay and watch the show live. It's a lot of fun. We have a really good time with it.
Didn't we Facebook Live your show last time, too?
We did, and we are doing it again this year. The amazing Stacy is handling all of that for me, so I'm very, very excited. And Sis is excited. We're both very excited about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We try to cram as many of the presenters on as possible. So if any of you presenters are listening tonight, come and see me at the meet and greet so we can organize who's coming on at what point. So that would be a lot of fun.
Well, some other people that are presenting that I've neglected to mention. Evo Dominguez is going to be there.
Yes,
we brought him in last year as headliner. He's coming back this year. Louis Guru is going to be hosting and emceeing the open mic night, which is on Friday night, which goes head-to-head with Desperate Housewitches, sadly.
It does? Well, that's okay, because Lou actually is going to be walking out on the open mic for a few minutes, because he is actually going to do one of his songs on my show again. So I'm pretty excited. It'll be interesting to see how that works. If he's doing both things at the same time, let's see how creative Lou can be.
I think we should just do like musical chairs. You know, it'll be like musical chairs. They can come play at the open mic stage, and then they can come and torment you all across the hall.
Awesome, because it is across the hall. So I'm looking forward to that, because that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I torment easily, but I torment back. Just remember. And I'm relentless.
I'm aware.
Yes, you are.
I'm aware.
So in addition to Mystic South, now that we have covered, I think, a goodly portion of that, tell me what's going on at the Wild Hunt. Let's talk about the Wild Hunt for a while.
Well, it's pretty much going. It's business as usual. We're still publishing every day. And, a while back we changed the formatting for the web page, which, so it looks a little different than it did.
I like it.
It looks more like a news site, less like a blog. We're getting ready to kick off some fundraising starting sometime this month. But basically, we're pretty even keel and just reporting the news that pagans want to read. Hopefully.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, no, and quite honestly, you know, and I talk about this often, and I know people are probably sick of hearing me say it, but I really don't care. It's my show. The Wild Hunt is really important for folks who are, you know, first listening in. There are no real even-keeled pagan places to go for news, where it's just very dry-eyed and reporting facts like you would expect an actual real journalism who isn't necessarily pagan to do, like the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I'm not saying that there aren't op-eds. There are. Everybody, you know, there are opinions, but it is clearly stated when it's an opinion and not just a news story. And I appreciate that so much about The Wild Hunt, because there is nothing geared like it for pagans, you know, people who don't walk a Judeo-Christian path. So I'm really grateful for The Wild Hunt, and I hope people understand and appreciate and support it, because if we don't support it, we are going to lose it. And the idea of being without something like The Wild Hunt is kind of devastating if you think about it, because you really can't trust all of the slanted, you know, journalism that you get, you know, and most things are slanted, whether it's to your liking or not. So to have something that's just real hard-nosed, real reporting, you know, these are the facts, never mind my feelings about it, this is what actually happened, it's really important to still have that, and it's certainly important to the pagan community to have their own version of that, you know, and it's a valuable resource, it really is, and again, I just want to encourage people to support The Wild Hunt. It's, you know, you don't have to give up a lot of money to do it. You can be a sustaining member. It's not very expensive. Star, do you want to give folks some price points on this?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can be you can become a, you know, a sustaining member, which means that you you sign up to donate X amount of dollars every month. I mean, really, if just everybody one time gave us the price of a Starbucks coffee, we would be fully funded for like 2 years easily. We would all actually get like maybe even a real salary. we have like 70,000 followers just on Facebook. So if you think, yeah, you know, you think of everybody, if every one of those people gave us $5, we would be able to do, you know, really in-depth investigative reporting. You know, we try, our focus is to report the news that is specific and important to the pagan, polytheist, heathen communities, whether it's a story about witches or heathens or druids.
Yep.
Those are the stories that we focus on. And even when the mainstream reports on something that might be of interest to the pagan community, they often miss details that any pagan or witch or druid would say, oh, well, you know, they left that out, or they didn't understand what something meant, or they presented it in a way that even if it's not biased, is maybe a little off the mark, because that's not their specific You know, I mean, religion reporters often do a better job than mainstream media does, simply because they're more aware of the specific of whatever the belief system is. So
right.
That's really our focus, and we do our best to be as non-biased as possible. You know, we report the facts.
Yep.
We try to do original reporting whenever we can, and are constantly. I spend a good portion of every day just, you know, trolling the web and following. You know, I have multiple news feeds set up that to look for stories that pertain specifically to pagan paths, and we've put a lot of focus on, you know, religious freedoms. I wrote an editorial last month on women's reproductive rights, which was opinion.
Yep.
Was not a news story per se. It was my opinion, but it was also an opinion that is shared by the editorial team, which I think that a lot of times people, that when we publish an editorial, whether it's me writing an editorial or whether it's Manny, who is our editor-in-chief, writing the editorial, or whether it's Eric Scott, who is our weekend editor, when any one of us writes an editorial, it is reflecting the values overall of the editorial team. And so it's a little different than just being an opinion piece that one of our columnists is writing. So that's our, I mean, our mission is to bring news that is relevant to pagans into the public sphere.
For pagans, by pagans.
And, right. And no one else is really doing that. Sure, there are sites that collate news stories, absolutely. Patheos has several. There are other independent sites, but they're not doing necessarily any, you know, actual reporting. They're aggregating these stories and posting the links. Whereas even when we do that, when we do like a Unleash the Hounds or Pagan Community Notes each Monday, we're not just giving you the link. We're saying, okay, here's this thing that we found, and this is what happened, and, you know, this is why it happened, and this is who it happened to, and we embed the links in the story, but we're still taking what we're finding and putting it out there in a way that makes it easy for people to understand that this is, you know, these are the facts, this is what we found. You know, here's an embedded link if you want to go and read where we sourced this from.
Right.
And then we do a number of original reporting every week. I mean, we're publishing 7 days a week. Sunday through Thursday, we publish news. And Friday and Saturday, we publish opinion, which we have columnists that are all around the globe. We have columnists in the UK. We have columnists in Norway. We have columnists in South America and Mexico, and really we have pretty much every continent covered with either correspondents or columnists. So all of our contributors are spread all around.
That's amazing. I had no idea that it was so international, that you had so many people in other countries. I wasn't aware of that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, today's columnist, Jamie, he is, let me tell you where he is, because my brain is just fried. I think he's in Mexico.
Cool.
I don't know.
Wow.
My internet is temporarily down. But his column is published every week or every month in both Spanish and English, because he's a native Spanish speaker. So that's
wow.
kind of neat as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to find tonight's link for myself. There it is. Okay. Yep. There's Jamie. Yeah, there it is,
yeah,
in Spanish. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So
I did not even. Yep,
yeah,
he's from Mexico.
His column is published in Spanish and English. He once a month, he writes a column for us. And so it's really nice to have those perspectives of people that are living in different parts of the world, and you know what the culture is like, and it opens a window into those places. Lionel Perabo is in Norway. He's originally,
wow,
I think, from France, but lives in Norway, and you know, he writes a column for us once a month. And
wow,
we could not do what we do without people supporting us. And and you're right, because if people don't support us, then eventually the wild hunt goes away. So think about that. So the next time we're going to buy a really bad cup of coffee at Starbucks, you know, maybe maybe you should put aside that $5
More like 10. Yeah, because it's more like $10 now, and the wild hunt could
is
use it?
It.
I mean, oh yeah, it's way more than $5. I'll tell you what. the last time I went to Starbucks, I think it cost me $8 for a coffee.
Wow.
So I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. But you know, instead of like buying too expensive a cup of coffee, you could be helping to save and continue on the legacy of the pagan paper of record, you know, where we actually get news that is geared for us pagan types. We would miss it if it were not here, believe me. It may not be something everybody reads every day, but when something happens in the community, it is the first thing I look for. To see what's going on in other places in the world, to see how pagans are getting on in other locations. Listen, in America, to not be a white Christian male is already difficult. So, you know, knowing what's happening in other countries, listen, if it gets too crazy here, some of us may pack up and leave, and it would be nice to know where it might be safer. But, you know, I mean, but that's
I'm not leaving.
Reason.
I'm going to fight to the death.
Oh, me too. I mean, I feel like it's my country and fuck you. You know, even though these old white men may have been here first, it's still my country too. And, yeah, I mean, I am going to go down swinging because I consider myself a patriot. And, it's like I'm a human being first, I'm a witch second, and motherfucker, I'm an American third, so guess what? this shit is still mine too, and I'm not walking away from it. But, I mean, I have heard Pagan say, listen, shit's getting hairy. It may be a consideration if this orange asshole wins another term. I have heard people say it. I can't blame them, you know, for being concerned. You know, women's rights are leaving or being ground down as much as possible. What would another 4 years of this nonsense garner us? You know, we are an available target as pagans. You know, it's not enough that women, you know, that there are women being oppressed. You know, we're coming up as a people next. I don't put that past these crazies, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think if you look at what is happening, it's only a matter of time before pagans become a target if we continue on the same trajectory. And
yeah, I agree.
You know, how long will it be before a pagan event is shot up? You know, I just think that something's got to give, because if we continue on the way we are going, something bad is going to happen, and the pagan community is going to become a target. I'm half amazed that nothing like that has yet happened. You know, it was just 3 years ago that the Pulse nightclub shooting happened in Florida.
Right.
And how many shootings?
That's right.
How many shootings? I mean, mass shootings have there been just since that one? I've lost count.
Well, and that's the problem. We've all lost count. And when you start losing count of things, you become inured to them. Not that we are. I'm just saying that it is becoming so commonplace that people in general are starting to lose the ability to have the appropriate reaction. And the appropriate reaction, in my opinion, is fear, outrage, and anger. And now it's kind of like, oh, this happened again. I mean, I remember when school shootings were, you know, the rarity, and how a school shooting would take over television for days. I mean, literally for days. Now, yeah, we'll go live and this happened, and then it's like any other news story, you know, that didn't involve such a tragedy, which scares me. I'm concerned that we are numb to this kind of situation and that it's just going to continue to escalate, because all it's done is escalate.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember Columbine, and I remember how horrific that was. And
sure,
there have been every year since Columbine, it just seems like there's been an increase in the number of shootings. I mean, come on, let's face it. If Sandy Hook did not prompt Congress to do something, I mean, Sandy Hook was,
right,
you know, first graders. First graders were,
yep,
murdered in their classrooms. And if that did not prompt a change in gun laws and the focus that people have that this is something that needs to be addressed, I don't know. I
mm-hmm.
honestly don't know what it's going to take. I really don't. Yeah.
Well, and therein lies the problem, because, you know, you had a shooting at a Republican baseball game that didn't move them. Little children didn't move them. Teenagers didn't move them. You know, workers just doing their daily job, whatever it is, that didn't move them. Nothing's going to move them. If you can't be moved by your own people getting injured, or little babies, little children get injured, then you're dead to it. And if you're dead to it, you don't deserve to be representing any of the people that you represent. You don't have a constituency that can rely on you to do the right thing. And that is the problem. And that is a lot of what's wrong in politics. You know, we look at our politicians as if they know something or they're doing something. And quite honestly, I'm seeing a lot of hand-wringing, and I'm seeing a lot of, oh, I don't know if we should do this or that, but I'm not seeing any action. The only action I'm seeing is the action that infuriates me from the orange monster. That's what, you know, that's the only thing I see happening, the continuous sideshow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, I think that there is a distinct lack of morality for lack of a better word, humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you were online at all today, but some of the stuff that is coming out as far as the things that how people at the border are being being handled, and I mean it's horrific. I mean, really horrific.
Wow. Yeah, I wasn't online today, so I don't know what was happening. Was there some kind of specific incident that happened today that I'm not aware of?
Well, apparently there's a whole flurry of videos and text messages and reporting that is just now getting out as to things that are happening, that have been happening on the border, that basically some of the reporting that I've seen, which is needs to be, I would like to see better verification, but they're talking about that they've been, like, basically keeping these people outside with no access to clean water, like, basically in pens outside. And then, of course, they're talking about moving them into World War II internment camps that they used for, you know, people anyone that was Japanese in origin, which I'm going to assume that most people know that during World War II, they rounded up anybody that even looked remotely Asian and basically put them in camps because of Japan's participation in the war with the Germans. But so they're talking about using those internment camps to house immigrants. What's going on the border is really, in my opinion, is really horrific. I just heard a report, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, that North Carolina has basically that. So imagine that you come to the United States seeking asylum, and you go to to one of the border stations. So we're not talking about people who are trying to sneak in here. We're talking about people that are coming through legal ports of entry and border stations and asking for asylum. So that you're fleeing from some kind of violence or some horrible whatever, and you come to the United States and you seek asylum, you get picked up and taken to someplace, you know, as the woman that I heard on the radio yesterday said, you know, this mystical place of North Carolina that, you know, you don't even know where that is. And you're put in basically like a detention facility for weeks or months. There seems to be real problems with they don't have, you know, they're not allowed any kind, they're not allowing any kind of advocates in to even speak to these people. There seems to be a great deal of concern that they're not really, you know, they're making, when somebody is, they do an intake on somebody seeking asylum, there's a lot of paperwork that they have to sign, and they're supposed to explain to them, you know, like what their rights are and what the process is, but it seems
right.
to be that that is not happening. So these people don't even really know what, you know, what to expect or what their rights are, nor is the, you know, they may not even have a translator or somebody that speaks their language.
Right.
So, I mean, on top of everything else that is happening, you know, you have that too. So, I mean, it's horrifying. When you add all of these things together, it is just, I don't want to end up being in one of those camps ever.
No, absolutely not.
No one.
And, you know, to kind of
To circle it back, you know, this is kind of where things are heading. You know, this is one of my concerns. This is one of the things that makes the Wild Hunts even more important, because, you know, we're all at a certain amount of risk right now for different reasons, but the risk is still there. We need to know what's going on in the world, you know, and the Wild Hunt is geared for those on the pagan path, you know, and not just one specific pagan path, all pagan paths, all alternate paths. So, you know, it's a good idea to support the Wild Hunt so that we can continue to have this, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the Wild Hunt is just, I mean, we need good reporting from everybody that does reporting. The media is not known as the fourth estate for nothing. Our job as media outlets is to hold our government accountable, to hold the corporate aspect accountable. That is the job of media, to report the truth.
Okay. Well, it seems like we are having some kind of audio situation on our end here. So I think, I don't know, do I sound any better or am I still warbling out?
It's very warbly. You sound like
okay.
a prehistoric dinosaur.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, in that case, Star, let me thank you for being on tonight. I guess we're going to wrap it up because all of a sudden our audio is going funky, so maybe it's a sign that we need to wrap this up. But I want to thank you for coming on with me and hanging out and talking to me about the Wild Hunt and Mystic South. I am looking forward to talking to you again because you will be on the week before Mystic South. And the week after, so we can do the post-mortem, as we like to do, and the pre-mortem, which we like to do as well. So if you have any questions you'd like us to ask Star on the next visit, let me know. Hit us up on our Facebook page. Again, Mystic South is the 18th through the 21st. That Thursday is the meet and greet, as Star had mentioned, and it will be in Atlanta at the Crown Plaza at Ravinia. We are looking forward to it. Also, please remember to support the Wild Hunt. It is the pagan paper of record, and we need to keep it going. So, Star, thank you again for being on, and we will talk to you soon.
it's always my pleasure to be on. You do a great job, and totally appreciate what you and your sister do. So have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good night, Star. All right, folks. We're going to wrap it here. Sis and I will be back next week with the amazing Heather Green, and we will talk to you then. Have a great weekend, everyone.